Good morning, Austin Oaks Church. Trust you are doing well on this most amazing January. It's awesome. Love it. Name is Brandon Ziske, the lead pastor here. If you are a guest with us this morning, we are thrilled and delighted that you're joining us. We want you to know that we're a church that's simply about Jesus. We want to see every generation made alive. And that's why one of the phrases we say around here is that we want to build foundations in Him for more. We want everything in our lives to be built off of Jesus and what He says. That's our heart. We are in a season of prayer. We are launching 2019 in a prayer series, and we also have prayer opportunities for you. The one I want to highlight the most is what we do on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. We have prayer up in the upper room where Nueva Vida is meeting right now. Now, I want to let you know, okay? I want to let you know it is worth the sacrifice, okay? So if that means you need to tell your boss you need to leave work earlier, just tell them your pastor said so. That will work. I'm telling you, it will work. But like, I really would strongly encourage you to find some time this month. We're going to do it every Wednesday this month at 6 p.m. We pray for every single prayer request that comes through our computers, through the connection cards, all these things. And it's a beautiful time. We really sense the Lord's presence in that time. I want to encourage you to come to do that. Now, I've been a pastor for about 16 or so years, and we get asked a lot of questions, especially when I was a college pastor. I mean, some of the questions that college students would ask are really kind of funny, and you can't share a lot of them, but they're really good questions. And so I hear this question over and over and over and over. And in fact, I would say this is the most asked question I get all the time as a pastor, and it's this question: how do I know if I'm hearing God's voice? How do I know? And how do I know it's Him, and how can I trust it? How can I make sure I'm reading this right and not the pizza I ate last night, right? It's like, how do we know? Like, and this takes many different shapes and forms. Sometimes the way we ask that question is in the form of, what is God's will? And how do I know what God's will is? It's this process of trying to discover, what does God say? What's His heart for these certain issues? I would even argue that this question, it comes to more often than, why does God allow pain and suffering in this world? If you were to mine that question out, you will actually discover what they're wanting to find out is, what does God have to say about pain and suffering? Why doesn't God do such and such? It's a looking at, what does God say about these things? Now, here's the deal. Last week, we discovered God's a speaking God. God still speaks, right? And we talked about His primary voice is through His word, but we also discovered that He gives us nudges and promptings and stirrings and things like that. And so what if the problem isn't that God doesn't speak? Because quite frankly, we have a speaking God. What if the problem is us? What if we don't hear well? What if we have a hard time discerning His voice because of all the clutter, all the noise, and all the static, and all the things that compete for our hearts? I know this to be quite true, because in my own life, I know this, like, the Lord's like, did you hear me? Of course, as I'm going to share later, it's like, yeah, I heard you, but did you listen? Yeah, I think. So this morning, the invitation from Jesus, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's my prayer for you this morning. So would you join me in prayer? Father, I ask that as we come to your word, your spirit would speak. We need to hear from you. We need you to look into our hearts. Lord, we just ask that you would have your way. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It honestly wasn't until I was married that I learned the difference between hearing and listening. It's true, because my wife would, like, she'd be talking about something serious, and I'd do what, you know, most stereotypical guys would do. I'm like, You know, and I'm a bit hyperactive, and so I have a hard time, like, paying attention and giving good eye contact. If something moves within my periphery, I'm like, you know, I'm constantly doing this. And so, like, sometimes we'll have this conversation. This happened a lot more early on. Like, where she would stop and she's like, you're not listening to me. And like, I would actually be insulted. I'd be like, what do you mean not listening? I could tell you everything you just said verbatim. Guys, have you ever done that? Like, you know, I was listening and here's what you said. You said this and this and this and this. In fact, I got three solutions for you right now, right? And she would say, it's like, no, you hear me, but you're not listening. And I would actually be really confused. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not listening? She's like, I want you to connect with what I'm saying. Do you feel what I'm feeling? Do you see what I'm seeing? Does it move you? Does it get in there? And I'm like, no, I guess I wasn't listening after all, right? And I think the same thing happens spiritually. Like Webster defines listening or hearing and listening this way. Hearing is the process of just simply perceiving sound. I hear things. But listening is altogether different because it gets into our heart. It takes intentionality on our end. It takes thoughtful thinking. Like, how many times do we hear God? Like how many times do you come, and obviously not when I preach because, you know, you take everything I say and you take it to heart, but like when you come to a sermon and you hear God's word and the next thing you know, you walk out the doors and you don't remember a thing. Like we hear so often, but do we listen? Does it get in here? And Jesus gives this huge invitation, he who has ears, let them hear. The Bible talks about listening and hearing over and over and over. In fact, I just did a quick survey of how many times it talks about this. 32 times it says, hear the word of the Lord. 6 times, listen, O Israel. Over 300 times does it give reference to listening to God's word. Over 300 times it gives reference to hearing. You get phrases like incline your ear, give ear, pay attention, right? Like, truly, truly, I say to you, today if you hear his voice, don't harden his hearts. The Spirit speaking to the churches. We hear this all the time. Even Jesus' name is the Logos of God. He is the word of God. So God is a speaking God. This is a really big deal. In fact, it is so big that our faith depends upon it. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes through the word of God. And we use that synonymous. Like the word is God's voice. God is speaking. And the question is, are we listening? And what I want to get to this morning is simply this. How you listen depends on the condition of your heart. The problem isn't God. God is speaking. In fact, all we have to do is go outside these doors and look at nature. As Romans 1 tells us, he's speaking. He's speaking all the time. We have his word. It's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the heart. It goes right down there. He's speaking. The question is, are we prepared to hear? What is the condition of our hearts? And that's what I want to challenge you this morning. What is the condition of your heart? Up north, in my old church, we had a lot of farmers. And some of my elders were farmers, and I got the opportunity to go to their homes and, you know, get in their tractors and all these types of things, which was really kind of fun. But then I started asking them questions because I was really intrigued. It's like, how do you know when the right time is to plant seeds? Like, how do you know? Because, you know, we have this thing called winter, and it freezes, and the ground's frozen. And he would, Dave Benson, one of the elders, would tell me, it's like, in our family, we have this old wives' tale that, you know, if you could go out to the field, okay, now you're going to have to forgive me, hang with me. This is Minnesotan, and if you could put your bare bottom on the soil and it's comfortable, it's ready to plant. I just looked and I was like, is that scientifically verifiable? First of all, where did that come from? You know, but it's like they actually have a whole science and process of knowing when the right time is to plant seeds. Because the ground is frozen, they have to plow up the ground. They got to break it up, get it ready so that it dries off so the seed can get the good soil and all the other conditions work so that there's a plentiful harvest. The same is true scripturally. We see this in Jeremiah and Hosea, especially when God starts to speak to the nation of Israel after a season of wandering. He's like, listen, plow up your fallow hearts. Break up the ground of your hearts. Get it ready to hear. Be open and willing to receive what I have to say to you. It's no different today. No different today. This morning, I'm going to hit this pretty hard. I want to encourage you, be honest with yourself. What is the condition of your heart? So we're going to look at a very popular parable that Jesus gave, and you can find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to have Luke's version in Luke chapter 8. Jesus tells this parable. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell among the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, at first glance, it's kind of a simple parable. Like, he's speaking to an agricultural culture. They understand this. It totally makes sense. You know, where you plant seed, it matters on the condition of the soil. But basically, there's a powerful truth here where there's four conditions. And I'm convinced, I know it's without a doubt, that all four representations of the soil are present in this room. We're going to see this, and this is why we have to ask ourselves these serious questions. The sower goes out to sow the seed. The sower in this parable is specifically Jesus as he's proclaiming the word of God. He's literally the voice of God. And today it could be like anybody who's preaching God's word or God's word itself. It's just the seed is being cast and the seed is the word of God. And it falls on four different types of soil. So the disciples pick up on this. They're like, okay, we've been around him long enough that sometimes he doesn't just say things. There's usually some other things underneath the surface. So they come to Jesus like, so hey, what's the meaning of this parable? And then Jesus continues in verse 10. He goes, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. This is one of those verses that every time I read this, I'm like, what are you saying, Jesus? That seems kind of cruel. But this is a quote from Isaiah, and it's specifically referencing the people of Israel who've heard over and over and over and over God's word. They've seen God work over and over and over, and yet their hearts are hardened. They will not receive God's word. And so he's saying to the disciples, basically, I will show you the secrets of the kingdom because you have ears to hear. If you're willing to hear and if you're willing to receive it, you will understand what I'm trying to get at. I think that's a beautiful promise for us. I think there's so much grace in that where we don't have to like wonder, well, God, show me some things. He's like, listen, if you have ears to hear and you're willing to humbly accept the word of God, and if you're willing to take it into action, you're going to see some of the powerful truths of Scripture working in your lives. Powerful. And so Jesus continues. He goes, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And it's constantly being sown. That's not the question. It's almost as if you can say it's like the issue in this parable isn't God isn't speaking, he is. The question is, where is it landing? Where is it landing? That's why we need to check ourselves. Because we come here, I believe God's word is being spoken to you. And the question we have to ask is, what is the condition of my heart? Where is it landing this morning? So, the first soil type, the ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. These are the seeds that are falling along a beaten path. It's a path that's been well-traveled, and it's really hard. You can almost say it's very callous. There's no crack for that seed to penetrate. And so when the seed is sown on this hardened path, it's actually just sitting there rather vulnerable. And the parable is really kind of intriguing. It says the birds of the air just come and just snatch it away. Like they just it just comes and just grabs it away. And the connection to that is the devil is the bird, which is a powerful reminder for us that the enemy wants to distort and take away any opportunity that we have for God to speak and to get into our hearts. Because he knows that if God's word were to penetrate our hearts, it would produce change. And that change, that fruit will ultimately reflect God's glory, and he doesn't want that. And so he loves to make sure that our hearts stay hard, so when the seed is cast upon our hearts, it's easy just to snatch it away. Now, spiritually speaking, everybody who's not alive in Jesus, who doesn't have Jesus the Lord and Savior, their hearts are hardened, and we need God to change that. But if we are not careful, even now as children of God, if we are not careful, we can allow our hearts to get hardened over time. I want to share with you two specific ways how our hearts can get hardened, okay? The first one is unrepented sin. Unrepented sin. Unrepented sin will always develop a hard heart. Now, I want you to notice I did not say unconfessed sin. Confession and repentance are totally different. The word repentant is really simple. It just simply means turn around. I'm going this way. I'm going to repent. I'm going to go this way. I'm acting this way, and it's not pleasing to the Lord. Well, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to go this way. You see, we can confess a sin, but that doesn't mean we've repented. I've worked with so many people, even in my own life, to be quite frankly with you. It's like, you would confess a sin, but yet in my heart, I'm not ready to change. I'm not ready to turn. Yes, I struggle with this, but I'm still moving in this direction. And at any time there's unrepented sin in our lives, it will go, our heart will become callous over time. It just will. Because all the way we're saying to God, it's like, listen, I'm cherishing a sin in my heart. In fact, Psalm 66 says this, if I've cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not hear me. Sin causes a chasm in our relationship. And I know it is so easy, and in fact, it is really friendly preaching to go, well, God is loving, and God is gracious, and he loves me all the time, and he doesn't care about it. Like, yes, it's true, absolutely, but he's also holy. Like, that doesn't change. And if there's, like, sin in our lives, if we're cherishing sin, conscious sin in our lives, and we're not confessing it, it's causing a breach in our relationship. Now, think about this. For those of you who are married, what was it like in your household when you had an unresolved conflict? How was your relationship? It felt like there was a wedge there, right? And if it didn't go away until there was resolution. It's the same thing. And I've been guilty of this. There's so many times in our lives where we start to get bitter or resentful at God. Like, God, why aren't you doing this in my life? God, why aren't you speaking in my life? God, why aren't you doing this? And he's just like, I'm trying to, but you're cherishing that sin in your life, and I can't until you do it, because that's the thing that I need to change. Folks, I'm telling you, I know some of you this morning, you know exactly the sin that you need to repent of. And if you want to hear God speak in your life, and if you're dissatisfied with the process of your relationship with him, I'm telling you, repent of that sin. The other one that causes a hardened heart, and this is the one we don't really like, is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. We can easily come into church and be excited to worship God and sing to God and be quick to receive his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness in our lives, but yet we are choosing to withhold that grace, that mercy, and that forgiveness to other people. And Jesus had some strong words about that. And every time Jesus gives us a strong word, it's because he wants the best for our hearts. In Matthew 5, he's like, listen, it's like when you come to the altar, when you come to worship and you're going to bring a gift, and there you remember that you got a problem or there's an unresolved conflict between a brother or sister. And he means this when he says, he's like, leave the gift at the altar, walk out of the service and go deal with that. Call up your brother, say, hey friend, I'm so sorry, whatever. He's like, resolve that, and the moment you do, then you can come back and worship. I mean, folks, there's nothing more hypocritical, at least in my opinion, than coming and singing about God's love and grace and forgiveness for my life when I am choosing to not forgive someone else. That will cause a hardened heart. In fact, I think that almost borderline on idolatry, where we're not even worshiping God well, or we're not worshiping God right. He even says when he teaches the Lord's Prayer, he's like, listen, it's like, as you forgive others, I will forgive you. When we leave sin unrepented, and when there's unforgiveness in our life, there will develop a hard heart inside of you. And when there's a hard heart, anytime the seed is sown, the devil is right there wanting to take that away, to snatch it away. Here's the beautiful truth. If this morning you have a hard heart, this is what you need to apply. In James 1, he says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your life. Repent. Confess and repent. Humbly accept the word of God. Humbly accept it. Because God only desires good for you. And if he's convicting you of your sin, he wants to soften your heart. He wants to save you. He wants to change you, right? He's planting your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your friend, your colleague, your boss, your ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend. The second scenario that we see comes here. The ones on the rock are those, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root, for they believe for a while in the time of testing. That's a key word. They fall away. I call this one the fickle heart. The first one was the hardened heart. This is the fickle heart. And some people would say it's like it's the shallow soil, which is true. It's shallow. But the word testing in the Greek that we get in here, it's really speaking of someone whose constant fidelity and affection is always wavering. It's fickle. It's never constant. It's like it could go, the wind's blowing this way today. I love Jesus. It's so good. He's blessing me. I felt Jesus goose pimples in worship. It was great. And then something bad happened, you know, and you're like, whoa, where was God? And all of a sudden, it's just like, it just changes. A fickle heart. When we have a fickle heart, it's hard to hear the Lord because we're constantly thinking that God serves me. Like, I will give him my best only when he's giving me everything, right? Like, when he's blessing me, when things are good, when there's no issues, when there's no struggles, when there's no pain, I'm all in. And then you start to remember, like, oh my goodness, he actually said, carry my cross. I don't know if I signed up for that. We got to be careful with this one, okay? Because I was digging into this and I found something rather fascinating. Because last week we were talking about how the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd has to intimately acquaint himself with the sheep so they can tune in to his frequency and memorize that. And it says in John 10 that the voice of a stranger they will not recognize. And in this word, in our world today, a fickle heart is oftentimes a distracted heart, because there are so many voices and so many opinions and so many things trying to scream for our attention. It is utter chaos sometimes in trying to hear the voice of the Lord, right? So one of the things I was thinking about that oftentimes plagues people today when it comes to connecting to the Lord is the form of technology, okay? Like, technology is a huge blessing. Praise God. Great stuff. We can do a lot of things with technology, but at the same time, it can be a curse. Okay, like in 2018, they did a study and they shown that the average American spends 11 hours a day on some technological device. And that's not like computer for work. That's like TV, streaming, Facebook, Instagram, Hulu, Netflix, Prime, whatever your drug of choice is. Like it's all these things that get us. In fact, that has increased by 2 hours over the last few years. I start thinking about this, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is, what shapes your worldview? Whose opinions matter more? For instance, when you read the news or you're checking up whatever is happening in this world, and you're just like, oh man, the world's going down in flame, it's going down to hell in a handbasket type of thing, it's just so bad, and you're starting to freak out, you're like, nobody knows what they're doing. It's like, do you allow that to influence your heart, or do you go back to what God has said, and he says, listen, I'm sovereign, I'm in control of who's in control, right? Which voice shapes how you see the world more? Is it CNN? NBC, ABC, BBC, AF, GK, whatever. Like, whatever station is influencing you, is it Twitter? Do you care more about that? Like, whose voice is the loudest in your life? But which ones are tugging you away and distracting you? Because if the voice outside of God is louder, I'm telling you, and if you continue to let that be the loudest voice in your life, your heart will become fickle over time. So, confession time for me. I can no longer have quiet times on my phone. I love my phone. I really love my phone more than I should. And I like to think that I'm really self-controlled with my phone, to which my wife is going, yeah, he does, he's not, and I'm not. And so it's like I would try to have a quiet time reading, you know, the YouVersion on my phone, but then I noticed I got little red bubbles on my phone. I got notifications. And I'm the type of guy that goes, I can't be at peace unless all my notifications are dealt with. And I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. I got to deal with this issue first, and I'm going to come back to you. And so I'll start a quiet time. I'll be reading something. And next thing you know, something pops up, and I go, check it out, because for some reason that's really more important. And I will check that out. And next thing you know, 45 minutes have passed, and I didn't even deal with the notifications, because all of a sudden I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Am I the only one? Right? And so like I had to decide to like, I got to stop doing that. And so I went back into the vaults of history and I discovered a thing called a book. It has binding and pages. You can turn it and touch it. Like I learned I had to do this because I discovered something in my own spiritual discipline. Like, I would let that happen, and then I would start to say, well, I got to get to work now, and then I would get busy at work, and then I'd be like, okay, I'll do it later. Then I get home, I got the kids, got to feed them, then I got to go to bed, and by the time that's all over, I'm way too exhausted, and the next you know, it's like I might go a whole week without a solid good time with the Lord, but yet I have all of these other voices speaking into my life. And Jesus was crystal clear. He says, what comes in gets into the heart, and that's what's going to come out. And I noticed this about myself. The longer I stay acting like that, the more prone my heart is to being fickle. And then I have a hard time hearing the word of the Lord. And then I get kind of mad at him. I'm like, why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you this? And he's like, how about you spend more than a minute with me? The condition of your heart. There's the third one. As for what fell among the thorns or the weeds, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Look at this. And their fruit does not mature. Let me ask a question. How many of you have tried to grow weeds? You don't have to. They're just really good at growing on their own whenever they want. You don't have to try to grow weeds. They are a nuisance. And so, like, I'm a green thumb. I love planting things. And one of the first things I had to do in the house that we got is I had to build these little flower boxes because I just had to plant new things. And so I would get the soil ready. And I should have studied a little bit more about, like, native Texas plants and all this stuff. I got the soil ready. I put down the weed tarp and you know, I planted them, put down the mulch, and it was all good to go, irrigation, everything. And I was like, there's no weeds. I even built them up off of the ground so they wouldn't get the weeds from the grass. I was going to say, sure enough, like 2 weeks later, there's a bunch of weeds growing. And so I was like, okay. And at that moment, I was disciplined enough to pull them out because there wasn't too many. But then life happens. And 2 weeks later, now there's more weeds. And then I would sort of pull those out. And then next thing you know, I would see more weeds. And I'd just be like, whatever. Now, if you actually look at the flower beds, the weeds have successfully killed everything I've planted. And in fact, you'd be like, man, your previous homeowners neglected that garden. To which is like, no, I did. But like, don't we think that if we see someone's like flower bed or garden or even their yard, like with weeds overrunning the house, like don't we start to think like there's an issue of neglect there? Like that's what Jesus is getting at. And this is not a real easy thing to hear. In fact, because of this, he starts talking about, it's like when we allow, we're like, we're growing in the Lord, like we're going along, and then weeds just show up because that's what weeds do, and they didn't tend to that. They weren't taking care of that area, and as they go on their way, they're eventually choked out. And he says, because of that, the fruit doesn't mature. That's a beautiful thought because God wants the fruit to mature in our lives. And so in other words, this condition is the immature heart. Now that might be hard to hear. This is the immature heart. This is the heart that gets so distracted, so pulled away by the things of this world, the cares of this world, the illusion of riches and the pleasures of life. And it just grabs them. And they know it's wrong, but because it happens so often, because that's what weeds do. You might be disciplined for a season, and you might be good at tending those weeds and pulling out, but they're going to come back, because that's what weeds do. And over time, let's just be honest, we neglect our hearts, and we let certain things go. And God's like, listen, you can't do that. I want to produce fruit. If you let that sit there, it's going to choke out what I want to do in your life. It's the immature heart. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want you to be honest with yourself, okay? If the cares of the world, the riches of this world, or the pleasures of life make following Jesus inconvenient, you have an immature heart. If the cares of this world, the riches of this world, or the pleasures of life make Jesus, following Jesus, inconvenient, you have an immature heart. If these weeds cause you to go, I can't be generous. I need this. Oh, I can't afford this. I got to deal with this debt. And this is, I'm not going to be generous. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to serve. I don't have the time. You don't understand. And all these kind of things. And we just start to make all these excuses. Like, doesn't mean even just serving in the church. Oh, I'm not going to take this prayer thing seriously. You don't understand. I'm not this. You know, like, maybe, like, this is the season where you need to stop making an excuse about why you can't join a small group. You know exactly what I'm talking about because we're all guilty of this. We all find a way to make an excuse for the cares of this world, for the riches of this life, and the pleasures of this life. And Jesus is saying, listen, I want to do more in your life than you can ask or imagine. I want to produce fruit in your life that can only be explained by me. And that's why I want you to pull out the weeds, because it will choke it out. You cannot serve two masters. Like, he's not doing this to make us feel bad. He's not doing this to rob us of our joy. He's like, listen, I know the best thing for you, and the best thing for you is to produce fruit, because when you do that, you're going to find joy and purpose and meaning. And that's why he gives us this fourth soil type. He's like, listen, those who fall, like, I'm skipping stuff. Sorry, guys. They're like, why do you do this to us? The good soil. The ones on the good side, they're hearing the word, they hold fast in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. Matthew and Mark, they say this seed will produce a 30-fold, 60-fold, even a 100-fold yield. Like, if you were in that audience and you heard that, you would have taken a step back and you would have been like, that is an exaggeration. Because a really, 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 really good harvest in Israel is 6 to 8 times of what was sown. Jesus is saying, if your heart is ready to receive what I'm speaking to you, you will produce either a 30-fold, a 60-fold, or a 100-fold. In other words, he's like, listen, there's going to be so much fruit producing in your life that when people look at you, there's only one explanation: me. And that's a promise that he's given us. So church, I'm telling you, like, we got to take this serious. Like, because our hearts will represent one of these four conditions at any moment in our lives. And this morning, you might be the hardened heart. You might be struggling with a sin issue, unforgiveness, or maybe there's other things that have caused that hard heart. Maybe there's just hurt from the church. Let's just be honest. The church has hurt a lot of people. Maybe that's sitting there. Allow God to churn that up. Repent, turn, give him your heart. Folks, we need to take this serious. We need to do all that we can to prepare our hearts to hear from him. Because more often than not, in fact, probably all the time, the issue isn't with God. It's never with God. It's with us. Are we tuning in? Some of you are so distracted. You're so busy. It's like trying to have a conversation at Pluckers. It just won't work. Turn some things off in your life. We're providing an environment in this prayer series to encourage you, slow down, tune in, refocus on Jesus. Because it's way more important than you think. We need to take this serious. So, as we conclude, three things that we all can do to prepare our hearts to hear well. Repent. It doesn't hurt to ask, like David did. I can't remember the psalm off the top of my head, but he was like, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart, know my ways, show me if there is anything in here that isn't pleasing to you. Show me. David was so passionate about being in the presence of God. He didn't want anything to hinder that. Some of you, you've been hanging on to this sin for way too long. I want to encourage you today, repent of that sin. Turn. And repent is not an ugly word. It shouldn't be a word that we're scared of. It's not the repent or else you're going to burn in hell, repent, even though that's a reality. It's a beautiful word. It's a hopeful word. It's a grace-driven word. It's God saying, my spirit is coming after you because I'm trying to save you from this direction. Turn, repent. This is a good thing. Come home. Other of us just simply, we need to refocus. It's that Hebrews, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So let's throw aside every weight and sin that hinders, that so clings closely to us. Sometimes it's not the sin that hinders us, it's the weight. It's all the distractions, it's all the things that we're carrying that we shouldn't be carrying. And we gotta know, these cloud of witnesses, they are shouting to us, it is worth it. They're sitting there right now in the presence of the Lord going, it is worth it. You can't see what we're seeing, but it's worth it. Let it go. Don't worry about those concerns. Don't worry about those pleasures. Go for it. Run. Sprint. This is why we need to take it serious. Folks, we're living in a city that is every day becoming more and more and more away, like ungodly. There's so many people in our city who don't know Jesus. There are so many people in our city that are one decision away from a horrible decision. We need to refocus. We need to take this serious because the church is his vehicle. A lot of us just simply, we just need to revive. And I think again of gardening. Because sometimes when you neglect a garden, it may not be the weeds, it's just a watering issue. And you dump some water on there and within a few moments, you just see it just poof. Some of you just need to pray. Start connecting with the Lord. Some of you just need to get back into the Bible. And I want to tell you, the best avenue to do that is in a small group. It's in a small group. You gotta have your heart ready. You gotta get your heart ready. There's a phrase that is said in Minnesota. I don't know why I'm using a lot of Minnesota things this morning. The phrase is, you can't grow bananas in Alaska. If your heart is hardened and it's fickle, and it's crowded, that's not the best environment to hear God's voice. Prepare your heart. Repent, refocus, revive. And I just want us again to use this song just as a declaration. Just like use this as your prayer. Sometimes music helps because I don't always know the words to say. I'm feeling something, but my brain and my heart aren't always in sync. Sometimes you just take the lyrics and just go, Lord, this is my prayer. Lord, I want to build my life off of you. You are my firm foundation. You are worthy. You are holy. There's no one like you. God, give me that desire. Just sing this by faith and ask God to make it your song. And I believe as we do this as a church, as we tune into his frequency, we will hear him. And like we say all the time around here, it's like, the best thing we can do is listen to Jesus and do what he says. His sheep, we know his voice. There's no other voice better to listen to than Jesus. So Father, I ask that you would speak in our hearts. Lord, you know where we're all at. You know the issues that we're all facing. So Lord, I pray for those who need to take that bold step of repentance, and I ask that they would do that. And if there's anyone in here who's never even just simply repented of their life and given over the control of their life to Jesus, that is the greatest decision you can ever make. It's not a religion, it's a relationship, and that's the gospel. So maybe that's you this morning. You just need to simply just give your life over, give the control of your life to Jesus He died for your sins. He took away that shame and guilt. You just gotta say, Lord, take it. I receive it. Lord, I wanna pray for those who are distracted, whose heart might be fickle. It goes from hot to cold real quick. Lord, I pray that you would do a steadfast work in their hearts. Think of David's prayer, renew, O Lord, a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, I ask that that would be their prayer. And Lord, for those of us who are struggling with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this world, that we've been caught up in that, God, I ask that you would show us the value of those things. Help us see how empty they are. And turn our hearts to you. You're the author. You're the perfecter of our faith. So Jesus, would you receive our prayers, our thoughts, our meditations, Lord, and would you be pleased with them? In Jesus' name.